The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. The Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Remember Pat Boone from the 50s from last week? He's my guest right now. Pat, I wanted to continue talking to you on different subjects than we were covering the last time we were together. You said to me that you had been doing some Bible reading this morning and it related to where we are today in our culture and history. So tell us about that.
Well, let me just make everybody aware of something. This is it's called the 1 Year Bible. Now, I've written a song and I've written a book, which are yet to be released. But the book, particularly, is called If, and I would not let the publisher put anything on the cover about it being religious in any way, because the book I've written is If, and the if is heaven or hell. Are you going to go to heaven when you leave this life, or are you going to go to hell? There's only two choices, whether you believe it or not. The Bible says so, and most people don't know, so they just shrug it off. But I've written a book, and my concern these days is for, according to the polls, the 150 million or more people who, according to these Gallup and other polls, say they don't go to church or synagogue, they don't go to any religious services, they may or may not pray now and then, if ever. They don't know if there's a God. And if there is a God, they just hope that maybe if there is an afterlife that they'll luck their way into it by being, quote, good people. Well, I think since this is, I call it the Bible is a manufacturer's handbook. This is the instruction manual for the life that we're all living and what I'm writing about. And I read through this Bible in 365 portions. It's put together this way so that you read a daily portion. This is May 19th, and I've highlighted and written margins, and all the way to July 13th. And it's Old Testament, a portion of the Old Testament, portion of the New Testament, and then a portion, a little bit of Psalms, sometimes a good bit of Psalms. In fact, it takes you to the Psalms twice in the course of a year, and the book of Proverbs, some of the wisest statements ever written by human beings ever, by Solomon. And it is the manufacturer's instruction book. If this nice watch gets out of whack, I'm going to send it back to the manufacturer if I can and get him to fix it for me. So the reason I'm talking about this is I read through this book every year. This is my 36th year to read the Bible from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, straight through, word for word, highlighting and making notes and references back and forth. And it is incredible how every year I discover new things. The Bible speaks to me as it does to anybody, and I learn new things all the time. And the reason I bring it up now is because we are in this country, we're in such a fix. We're in such a malaise. I mean, to use a word that Jimmy Carter used once, we are in a terrible calamity. Violence, breakdown of morality. We're worried about the educational system. It's being infiltrated and corrupted. The Constitution is being invalidated. And we're just going haywire. Well, when you read the Bible, as I do day after day after day, I'm reading now, and I'd like to give, I'll say it now, and maybe if people don't have a chance to write it down, if they would pick up their own Bibles. And I wish it would be the New Living Translation like this, because the King James Bible is for many people, if they're not used to it, it's an elevated kind of language. And some of it is not particularly current, but the New Living Bible puts it into modern language, but it's all the same truth. But 1 Chronicles 15 and 16. Just remember 1 Chronicles, Chronicles of the people of Israel and the kings. And then that's 1 Chronicles 15 and 16. And then read from the same opening that I was reading today, the first chapter of Romans in the New Testament. Romans, Paul writing to the Christians in Rome. And read the first 32 verses of Romans 1. If you read these scriptures in the same reading, 1 Chronicles 15 and 16, and Romans 1 through the 32nd verse, you will get a picture of where America is now, how God was putting up with the people of Israel, and they were his chosen people. He loved them. He made all kinds of eternal promises to them, but then he had to put up with the breakdowns when they departed from the regulations he had given them and worshiped idols and did things like, in the worst kings of Israel actually would take their own children sometimes and burn them. It says, pass through the fire, sacrifice their own children to pagan gods. Now, these are kings of Israel, and God was not going to put up with that forever. In fact, he kept telling them through the prophets, Jeremiah and Isaiah and the others, I'm going to send you into absolute captivity, which even Moses predicted there would be, and even Abraham, there would be a 400-year period when the people of Israel would be so disobedient that rather than wipe them out completely, he would send them into captivity, which he did. And then when he would bring them out of captivity and restore them, the temple would be rebuilt and restored, and they were now back on track. And then in a matter of just a very few years, they abandoned God, his principles. Today, when we look at today's society, if God absolutely took them out of existence for 2,000 years, there was no Israel. He's brought them back after 2,000 years and recreated a modern state of Israel, as he promised he would eventually. He's done that. But he is not going to put up with our sinfulness and our disobedience and our rejection of him and his word. And ignorance is not going to be any excuse. So it's about 300, not quite 300 years, getting close to 300 years he's been putting up with America. It was 300 years he put up with Israel before he sent them into abject non-existence.
What are those scriptures before we continue? It's 1 Chronicles?
It's 1 Chronicles 15. From the first verse through chapter 16.
Okay, so so 1 Chronicles 15 through 16. So go ahead. Yeah,
it is him actually restoring those chapters are restoring the kingdom under David, but it recounts some of what God had to put up with. About and why so many people, so many kings that followed David, what they abandoned and caused them to be to be dispersed around the world. There was no Israel for 2,000 years. Romans 1 through the 32nd verse. Well, I'll just read just the first part. After having read Chronicles and Kings, and how what God had to put up with the people of Israel. And by the way, the Bible says these things were written and recorded, all of it, in the old, what we call the Old Testament, for our example under a new covenant brought about by the Messiah, the promised Messiah. But they're there for our examples. We're to read everything that happened in the Old Testament. So you see what God put up with and how the people, when they were blessed, why they were blessed and how they were blessed, the miracles he performed for them, but then how he got so fed up with them that he dispersed them and sent them into captivity and punished them severely. So those are examples. Now, we in America built our country the Constitution itself was written with the Bible in mind. Excuse me for having to clear my throat here a little.
Hang on, Pat, because this is so important. We're going to keep you over into the next segment. Folks, I'm talking to Pat Boone, the Erickman Taxes Show. You do not want to miss the conclusion of this conversation, so stick around.
Wait for me. We'll stroll along together.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
You made me cry when you said goodbye. Ain't that a shame?
Folks, welcome back. I'm talking to Pat Boone, is it? Pat Boone, you're making some important points. I mean, we've talked early in the conversation, we were talking about the Queen of England and the Beatles and Elvis and Frank Sinatra and Bing Crosby and Woody Allen and all this crazy stuff, this life. And yet, at the heart of everything for you from the beginning till now, God and the Bible have been at the heart of everything, and you acknowledge that publicly over and over and over again. So right now you're sharing that this morning you were reading in the one day, or what is it called?
The one year Bible,
which I have used often. It's wonderful. And you said that you see this pattern happening now, that where we are. So where do you think we are as a nation in this country? Because many people have said they think revival is coming, that we need revival, and revival is coming. So many people have been praying for the last few years. I have hope, because I don't think that – I think without God, there is no question that it's over. In the natural, we are dead.
Well, Peter said – all who will live godly lives in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Just keep that in mind, because we in this country, we've had problems, we've had trials, we've had wars, we've won the wars, we've had depressions, we've come out of them, and we've come through things that some might consider persecution. But now we're suffering absolute assaults on our soil, and in our infiltrating our all of our systems, our tech systems, and the way we communicate, our power grid is in danger. We are, and we've got fifth columnists throughout the land, even known communists, professing communists, taking office and being elected.
Absolutely.
And so we are doing like the people of Israel did, and finally wore out God's patience. And in time of David, they had a new beginning. But if you read in Chronicles and the First and Second Kings before that, and then what happens after David, how the people of Israel, though they had a fresh new beginning after a revival, and David, you know, was part of a great new revival, reestablishing everything, including bringing the ark back into Jerusalem. And tabernacle worship and all of it was being restored. But it only took just a few years until the people began to rebel and to resist and to start following pagan gods. And God put up with it for almost 300 years. But the time came when through Jeremiah, he said, okay, I'm pulling the plug. And I'm going to destroy the temple. I'm going to disperse the people. And God absolutely did exactly what he said he would do. Now, if you read through those scriptures I just told you about in First Chronicles, that's the beginning of a new era, but it's not going to last. You need to keep on reading after that. What happens after David was no longer king? Even Solomon, who followed him, knowing what he knew, got so corrupted in his power and his wealth, he married 700 wives and 600 concubines, mistresses, and adopted their gods, built pagan temples for their gods, and worshiped their gods. Solomon worshiped pagan gods because of all the pagan wives that he took to himself. And listen, well, I won't say that I think Solomon is in hell, but I don't know how he could have made it to heaven, ending his life the way he did and squandering everything that God gave him in superabundance. So now we come to Romans, the first chapter, and this is in the same day's reading. And in the psalm, it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." This is today's reading. "His faithful love endures forever. Cry out, save us, O God, of our salvation. Gather and rescue us from among the nations so we can thank your holy name and rejoice and praise you." This is today's psalm reading, crying out, "Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Each day proclaim the good news that he saves." Yes, he saves. He has to save us from our own failures, our own disobedience, our own sins. He has to save us. So now, Romans 1 in this today's chapter. "But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness." Is that happening in today's world, in our educational system, happening in our government? They know the truth about God because he's made it obvious to them. "For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Heavens declare his glory, the firmament, all things show his handiwork. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, eternal power, divine nature, so they have no excuse for not knowing God." His word is here. If you don't want to know what his will is, don't read it. 150 million people or more in America don't read his word. They don't know what it is, and they don't care. Yes, they know God. They know he exists, but they wouldn't worship him as God or ever give him thanks. And they, in talking historically as if, and also into the future, begin to give up. They think up foolish ideas of what God is like. As a result, their minds become dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead become utter fools. The Bible says, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." And I heard for that comedian who says there is no God and made Religious the film. Instead of worshiping the glorious ever-living God, they worship idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. I'm not going to go on. You can read it for yourself, Romans 1. It describes a society that is like our society today, in which almost all valid biblical, scriptural, and moral things, because our whole morality sense comes from the Bible, comes from nowhere else, right and wrong. The Bible says righteousness exalts a nation. Sinfulness is a disgrace to any nation. We are becoming blatantly an entertainment. What's happening on our internet all the time, things that are being promoted, zombies, extracurricular things, untold,
and that's the good stuff.
Violence of all types, immorality, even shows on a Disney Channel, a subsidiary channel for kids, showing teens being sexually active. I mean, this is happening in our midst, and we're letting it happen. And redefining marriage as between a man and a woman. The Bible is very clear that marriage is between a man and a woman. But we say, hey, well, that's old-fashioned. We're going to scrap that whole thing. And we're just making up our own rules as we go along. And it's happening more and more. And God is getting more and more fed up. And yes, we should. We need a revival. And that revival, if it takes place, may have to take place under great persecution, as it did in the first century, when the Bible and Christianity spread throughout the whole world. It spread as Christians were being persecuted on every hand, and they had to escape to other countries where they could still practice their faith, and it kept spreading.
It's amazing to hear you go through all of this, because, you know, unfortunately, it's all true, in case anybody's, you know, tuning in and they're not familiar with this. But it is difficult to see. And if it weren't for the scriptures that command us to rejoice in the Lord always, to be anxious for nothing, I would despair. There'd be no question about that. God calls us, commands us to look to him and to praise him in the midst of these things, and to do whatever we can do to turn people away from the bad choices they have made, because so many of them have no idea what they're getting in bed with. They have no idea about these things. Pat, it's great to talk to somebody like you, who you've lived your whole life. And we started at the beginning of this conversation where you were talking about being a kid asking God to use you. We're living in tough times. I think I've talked about it a lot on this program with other guests. We're talking about politics, and we're talking about all these different things, the election and so many strange things. And I think you don't need to be paying much attention to the news to know that things have gone insane. If you have any sanity, you see that things have gone insane. You try to go about your life, raise your kids, make a buck to pay the rent, but you see that things are going crazy, and it seems to me clear and clearer that God is the only answer. He's always been the only answer, but we're seeing a clarity. We just got 10 seconds left. I'll just say, Pat, thank you for giving us. I didn't expect to get a beautiful Bible study from Pat Boone today, but I want to thank you for that. Wonderful to be able to call you friend and to get you to come on this program. We love you. Thanks for your time, Pat.
Thanks for giving me the opportunity, Eric. God bless you, man.
One dear, two arms make me know that you care. I have plenty of love. Your kiss is hotter than
Let me remind you folks, Nutramedics. I don't know, do we still have the 30% off, or is it the 20% off?
No, I think there's 30%.
30%? Oh, yeah. Good. If that's true, folks, go to Nutramedics.com. We've only got like a day left. I'm not joking. Yeah. It's normally 20% off. They said we want to do the special thing for you. 30% off, Nutramedics.com. I'm not kidding, folks. This is like, it's over tomorrow. Nutramedics.com, 30% off. Use the code Eric. And before I continue, Alvin, I just thought I would mention, I don't know if you're sensitive about this, but I'm just sitting here talking, trying to do the program, and I noticed you're suddenly wearing an eye patch. Something happen that I should know about?
Well, I think it's breaking news, and obviously you did not read it, because I am ready.
No.
But there is a new strain of virus. Okay, and the World Health Organization and Fauci, they're on top of this thing. Now, they were able to get us to wear the masks, right, for the last virus. Well, this one, it's from the Caribbean, okay?
Right.
It's called the pirate pandemic.
So the one from China, the Kung Flu pandemic from China, that's kind of like old news. You're talking about a new virus
The
Caribbean.
This is the new one.
Right.
So it seems to enter through the right eye. So you're supposed to now wear an eye patch. So I'm doing it. I'm trying to lead the way. I'm ahead of the curve on this one.
Well, you're telling me we should all be wearing eye patches on our right side.
Exactly. So it came from
makes it hard to ride a bicycle.
It does.
Because your depth perception. Anyway, so you're already on this.
Yeah.
All right.
They said it came from a feather market, apparently.
In the Caribbean?
Yes, a sick parrot. They think. Okay, but some people think it came from an unsanitized beer tap at the PNC Park in Pittsburgh where the Pirates play. But since I'm from Pittsburgh, I don't want to take that. You know, that's.
But one way or another, it's tied into Pirates because you've got the parrot in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Or the PNC. I got
it. Now,
okay.
They said that if it saves just one life out of the 8 billion on the planet,
right,
we should all wear the eye patch. And they said that in a couple of weeks, it might actually infect the left eye as well.
That's so, a new variant, a new strain?
Yeah, so I'm getting ready. I'm ahead of the game.
Oh,
with
look
this
at this.
One.
So you got two eye patches.
That's
on.
Right.
You know what?
Instead of two
that
masks,
is how you show love.
I do.
If you're a Christian,
I care.
You want to show people that you care about them.
I do.
You don't want to get them sick. So you're going to wear two
centered here.
Eye patches.
That's right.
And you know what? It's the patriotic thing, people. It's the patriotic thing. Either you wear the two eye patches, Albert, I'm going to do this from now on. You wear the two eye patches, and you're basically saying to people, I love you. I don't want to infect you. I don't want you to infect me. I'm anti-infection. That's why I'm walking around like Mr. Magoo. This is a blessed thing. Alvin, I just
want
to say, for your patriotism and for your agape love.
There it is.
For all those in your sphere, I just want to say kudos to you, my friend.
Kudos to you. And I
you know
appreciate
what?
You,
it,
too.
It's a beautiful thing when somebody says, you know what? It's not about me.
It isn't.
No, it's about you. And to show my love, I'm going to wear these two eye patches. That is so awesome. The only problem, though, is when you drive a vehicle, it's going to be tough. You may kill other people that you wouldn't kill, you know, through the infection. You may crash into them and stuff. But you know what?
Yeah.
That will be regarded as a pirate pandemic death anyway.
It would
so,
be, yeah.
So whoever's keeping score, the only way you could die is from these flus. So I would just say go for it. Drive blind. And you know what? We're supposed to drive by faith and not by sight.
There you go.
So even the idea of not wearing the eye patch, in a way, that's faithless. Okay? That's trusting in the arm of the flesh.
Mm.
And Alvin, I just want to commend you again. You drive by faith, not by sight.
Thank you.
That is awesome.
Okay.
High five. High five.
Where are you?
Yeah,
here.
Forget it.
Who said that?
All right, forget it.
Way.
All right, well.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm so glad but when that
I'm
happens.
I'm going to take a chance and take these off right now, just real quick.
That's so selfish of you. I can't believe it. Okay, Alvin.
Yeah.
In our next segment.
Yes, sir.
We're going to do a, I'm winded from that comedy
I
segment.
I am too. My goodness.
In our next segment, I keep talking about this over the weeks. Ask Metaxas. People write in with questions, usually thort pishy questions.
What's that?
I meant short, pithy questions.
You want to wear this over your
mouth?
I
said thort pishy questions, and I meant short, pithy questions, not thort pishy.
And you went to Yale. I went to Clarion. That never happened to me.
All right. So anyway, questions.
Yes.
We're going to do this every Thursday.
Yeah, so.
But today is Wednesday and we had an opening. Somebody died from the pirate pandemic. And we said, you know what? If they're dead, we don't want them as a guest. Let's just do our own thing. So we're going to do, in the next segment, Ask Metaxas. We've got some amazing questions. And I want to warn people that I'm going to post on my Instagram story every Wednesday. We're going to be posting these things. So get ready. Have I mentioned Nutramedics?
Yes.
Good.
30%. So go to our website.
So people need to be very clear on this.
Yeah.
It's always 20%. And I'm not exaggerating. Because I was canceled on YouTube, our friends at Nutramedics said, how can we help you? And then they said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give your listeners 30% off. They're losing money on this, is my guess. So this is a gift from them to you to get you to try Nutramedics. So if you use the code ERIC, 30% off. When does this end? Like today?
I think it's at the end of the week. They extended
it. They extended it?
Yeah. They extended
it.
Go to our website.
But I just want to be clear. I'm not joking.
Yeah.
Nutramedics.com. Put in the code ERIC. Should be 30% off. But it goes back to 20. So now's your chance to check it out. As you know, MyPillow and MyStore.com. Use the code ERIC. I'm afraid we're out of time. When we come back, a solid Ask Metaxas segment. Get ready. It's a lightning round version. Hey, folks, it's Ask Metaxas time. That's right. I'm playing the role of Metaxas, and you ask the questions or ask, depending on where you're from. Ask Metaxas. This is going to be kind of a lightning round. Normally we have 10 minutes. We've only got like 6 minutes and 30 seconds for this round. And go.
Oh, ho. Okay, here we go. How tall is Tim Keller?
Question number one is, how tall is Tim Keller?
That's question number one.
I said people could ask me anything.
Okay.
But I was not expecting that question. I'll answer it.
Okay.
He's about 6'3" and a half. I'm not kidding.
Yep.
But the weird thing about Tim Keller is because, look, he's a friend. He's been a friend for the years. Tim Keller is like kind of a big guy. It's like Sebastian Gorka. So from a distance, he looks, you know, normal. He doesn't look tall. Then when you get up to him, you realize he's really tall. So when I stand next to him, I feel tiny, like Sebastian Gorka, because they're just, they're normal. Their proportions are normal, but they're huge.
But can I add real quickly? You look normal, you know, until you see you in person.
And then you see me in person, and you realize I'm a freak.
You're like
a freak, I tell you.
Okay,
right,
here we go.
Second question.
When will you have Jordan Peterson or finagle an invite to his podcast?
Okay, I'm really sick of this question. Everybody says this.
Yeah.
When are you going to have Jordan Peterson?
Me.
I don't know. Are you friends with Jordan Peterson? Why don't you get him to invite me on his podcast or tell him he needs to reach out to us because he's Jordan Peterson. He's kind of a big deal. And it's kind of like saying, when are you going to have Paul McCartney on? When are you going to I'm like ready to have him on now, but he's kind of hard to get to. So if you have any connections to Elton John, Paul McCartney, Jordan Peterson, please, folks, go to their website, badger them, tell them to contact us. That would be a nice gesture. Okay, this is the Ask Metaxas Lightning Round. Question three.
Book recommendations. What are you reading?
What am I reading?
Yeah.
You're assuming I read.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'll tell you the truth what I'm reading. I'm reading Don Quixote, or The Quixote, as it was referred to in the 19th century by pretentious British people. Don Quixote, written by Cervantes. Don Quixote is one of those classic books that everybody raves about, but I've never read. Uh-huh. And people just assume, since I'm Eric Metaxas, like I've read everything. Folks, very far from it. Very far from it. I am deeply ashamed of the ellipses in my reading. Hmm. So I was in Kansas City with Mike Bickle and company. And in the book line, someone came up to me. Now I'm forgetting his name. I just read it this morning because he signed my book. And he starts talking to me about Clarissa and about Don Quixote, these classic books from previous centuries. I mean, Clarissa, Don Quixote are like 17th century books. And I thought, I've never read them. And he was going on. And the next time I came to Kansas City, because I came back for a Sean Foyt event, and then I went back to Kansas City, he hands me a copy of Don Quixote that he bought for me. And so I said, I get to read it. Bonhoeffer raved about Don Quixote.
Wow.
And in my book on Bonhoeffer, which I recommend, he raves about Don Quixote, which he read in the original Spanish, because he's a brilliant, you know, hotshot Bonhoeffer. And when he was in Spain as a very young man, he spent as a youth pastor in a German congregation in Barcelona, or Barcelona, as the Barcelonians say. Mm-hmm. And so Don Quixote is what I'm reading right now. Thank you for that question. Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah. How do you pronounce Bangor? Is it Bangor, Bangor?
Bangor, Maine.
Yes.
Is pronounced Bangor, not Bangor. Bangor. Oh. And by the way, that is a shibboleth. A shibboleth in the Old Testament, there's a moment where the people who are from the place called Shibboleth, they pronounce it Sibboleth, and everybody else pronounces it Shibboleth. And so as they're crossing the stream, it's like they're asking them, where are you from? If they mispronounce it, they know they're lying and they kill them. So a shibboleth is a word that divides the locals from the non-locals. Quincy, Massachusetts, the same kind of thing. Everybody reads it and says Quincy, Quincy, Quincy. Yeah. But the locals say Quincy. So Bangor is a shibboleth. If you say Bangor, people know you're not from Bangor.
Exactly.
Next question.
Okay, if you're from Pittsburgh, if you call it the Berg, then everybody knows you're from Pittsburgh. And now, any plans to come to Chicago this year? That's the question.
You know, of all the Ask Metaxas questions that I've done in this segment, this one is by far the most recent, and it's challenging. Any plans to come to Chicago this year? Now, here's another thing. It's like the Jordan Peterson question. When people say to me, Eric, you have any plans? Or, why don't you come here? Why don't you go? I need to be invited. I don't just like show up at a church or a school in Chicago and start lecturing. I need to be invited. So if you are affiliated with, oh, I don't know, the Moody Church or some mega church, is Willow Creek still open? If you're affiliated with a big church, ask them to invite me. If we can work it out, I will come. I would love to come. It's been a while since I came to Chicago. I would love to come to Chicago, but I have to get invited. That's a little rule that I have. If you invite me, then I can say
and
yes.
And Eric would like you to invite him to Hawaii as well. And now, if you're from a church there, of course,
yeah.
How do you respond to the claim that God is different in the Old Testament versus the New Testament?
That's a tough question. Well, there's a one-word answer for that. Can you guess what it is?
Pass.
That's not the word.
Oh.
How do you respond to the claim that God is different in the Old Testament versus the New Testament? The one-word answer that I would respond with is Jesus.
There you go.
Jesus, who is God incarnate, whom I worship as the second person of the Trinity, clearly saw the New Testament and himself as the fulfillment of the Old Testament. So there can be no disparity unless you read them sloppily. In other words, unless you don't know how to read it or understand the context. But if you understand the context, you understand in the Old Testament, God is preparing a people for himself. The Israelites are his people. And part of the reason he prepares them and chooses them is to bring the Messiah into the world. That's the New Testament. And the whole point of preparing a people for himself was so the Messiah would come out of those people. And then the whole world, through the Messiah, could worship the God of the Israelites. And so that's my short answer. The long answer we may do another time. We're just about out of time. Alvin, this has been a lightning round of Ask Metaxas.
It's
a lot of fun. Now, folks, every week we're going to do this. Every single week. Be prepared. All right. We're going to come back. Final segment. And then, of course, we've got hour two today, which is another story. But we'll be right back with some exciting stuff.
Well, I'm running down the road trying to loosen my load. I've got 7 women on my mind. 4 that want to own me, 2 that want to stone me once. She's a friend of mine. Take it easy.
You know what, Alvin? I decided we should do another fun segment right now. We did Ask Metaxas.
Okay.
We should now do a Mr. Postman. What's that song, Mr. Postman? Let's just call it A Listener Writes.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, now a segment of A Listener Writes.
A listener.
You know
writes.
What, Alvin? Yeah. I just got a letter from a listener.
Really?
Could I give his name?
No.
Well, it rhymes with Jack Conley. I wouldn't say it.
Okay.
I'll just say the initials are JC.
Okay, Jack, can we use your name?
Which is not
on
even
the air?
True. But it says, this is incredible. I get stuff in sometimes that's very funny. The next letter is very funny. This letter is really serious, and it really moved me to tears. It says, dear Eric, I just completed your biography of Bonhoeffer. Thank you for such a provocative, inspiring, challenging read. I'm a Catholic priest and so deeply appreciative of your work. I assure you, writing and preaching will be different now. You have opened my eyes. Thanks. John, I'm not going to say the last name, but it's a C. I want to tell you, folks, when I get something like this, you know, you write books. I prayed so hard when I was writing the Bonhoeffer book that God would use the book for his purposes. But 11 years later, to get a letter like this, this is a priest saying that his writing and his preaching will be different as a result of reading this book. Now, I know it's not my book. It's the life of Bonhoeffer. But the idea that I had the privilege of writing the book. So if you're looking for a good book, let me recommend my biography of Bonhoeffer, not because I wrote it, but because it's kind of the best summation book. If you're going to read a book, you want his whole life.
And just to be clear, you don't have to be a priest or a minister to read it. Okay?
It helps. But Okay, here's a letter. Now, this letter is serious, but I found it so funny I said I got to read this on the air. I'm not going to mention the guy's name, but let's just say it's Joe L. This is a real letter. The title in the email was, "Your selection of only men is short-sighted." And then it says, "Dear Eric, after enjoying your Seven Men book, Graduates Edition, I had misgivings about approving, recommending, or gifting it, and wondered why your picks lacked diversity as the number of women is zero. It's unlikely Seven Men will inspire female graduates. Your selection of only men is short-sighted." Man, that hurts.
Yeah, it does.
So I had to respond to Joe L., and I wrote this. I'm not joking. That's the letter I got, and this is my response. "Dear sir, perhaps you will find my Seven Women book more diverse. Here is a link for you to purchase that book. But I must warn you up front that Seven Women does not include any men. I'm not sure what can be done at this point, but I thought you should know. Thanks for your email. Sincerely, Eric Metaxas, author." That's a real letter. Somebody was upset that my book, Seven Men, Graduates Edition, didn't include women. Yeah. And I don't know how to respond to that, because it hurts. It stings, because Seven Men, it's a fact, folks. I'm not going to deny it. You know, when you're wrong, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Seven Men has no women in it. I'm guilty.
You are.
And Seven Women, to double down on my non-diversity, Seven Women has no men in it. Oh, what are you going to do? The books are printed. They're published.
Ouch.
People are buying and reading them and being blessed by them. I'm sorry.
But you're a big man to admit all this, I must
thank
say.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. My next book's coming out, Seven Drag Icons. Joan Collins. We got Cher. It's unbelievable. All right. Let me be clear. Nutramedics.com. 30% off if you use the code Eric. That's this week only. They extended it this week. Not joking. Jump on it. Nutramedics.com, 30%. Use the code Eric. And we're done. Jesus, it's just all right.